You're with SBS Radio. Find more great stories in your language at sbs.com.au.
I moved to Craigieburn in 1978, and I had first aid qualifications, and I was looking at something to do, and the SES was starting up in Craigieburn around that time. So in 1981, we formed a rescue unit, predominantly doing road rescue on the M Highway, and I've been a member of the unit since 81, and spent a period of time as controller, and now I'm one of the older members of the unit, but helping out with training and assessing and things like that.
That's quite a long time. You must have seen so many things happening. What event do you remember the most out of this long career with the SES?
The main thing that stuck with me has been the road accidents over the years we've been to.
Yeah.
We've always worked to do our best, and we go in with a very positive attitude that we're going to be successful in what we do. And even when we deal with fatalities, we know we're doing the best for the individual and their family.
Yeah.
So we still keep doing that. But, if I go back, the first major incidents I was involved with go back to Ash Wednesday bushfires in 1983. And I've been involved in the most recent one we dealt with was the train derailment at Wallen. The train came off the track up there, and there were two fatalities there. And that's probably the most recent big incident we were connected with.
What big changes have you seen over the years?
The biggest changes have been among two things. Technology, one. Because in the first days, when we first turned out, we used to just use our telephones to ring each other to turn out. So the police would ring us, we'd ring each other, then we'd turn out. Now, all our members are carrying pagers. Our mobile phones are 10 times more powerful than anything we ever had. The other thing is, in the very early days, we had to raise money to buy all our own equipment. That included vehicles. We purchased our own Jaws of Life originally, back in 81, 82. And now we get a lot more through the government, through both SES, state government and council. Probably the biggest change has been we're getting good first-rate equipment compared to the old days where most of the equipment we had, we recovered prior to it going into the tip. We used to just fix it up and use it again.
Yeah, but that's a big commitment. Not only you're doing it on a voluntary basis and you have to purchase your own equipment. That's a huge commitment. Yeah. And
we worked it out that an average member would contribute probably 4 to 6 hours a week. But if you're an officer of the unit or a controller of the unit, it can be 10 to 12 hours a week minimum that you commit to the service, because you've got to turn out and be 100% professional. So we've got to be to the same standards as anyone else, regardless of whether we're volunteers or not.
Yeah, most definitely. Because when you turn up at an accident, you don't want to look like myself and just, be just completely dazzled and know where to start and how to deal with the event. So,
well, we have a lot of members who have joined us that have, we've got approximately 14 countries represent our unit of people who are born overseas.
Yeah.
If you take into account the backgrounds of our members, there's about 20 countries represented. You've got people from officers, tradesmen, we've got retirees, you've got all sorts of people, and we teach them how to use all the tools that you might never use. So, normally, so we chainsaws, big heavy disc cutters, we teach people to drive trucks.
Yeah.
So there's almost nothing we don't teach people. We teach them how to read maps, how to navigate, things like that.
And those are things that people don't know anymore. I remember a few years back, anyone had a map and you needed to know how to read a map. But nowadays, the young people, well, just gave you an anecdote of myself. I went to rent a car recently and the young person needed a navigator in the car. They didn't have one. They offered them a map and the young man didn't know how to read a map. He just declined the offer and went to see if he could find a car somewhere else. And I thought, well, a map is just...
You asked the question before about one of the big things that's changed.
And yeah.
See, we've now got generations who are coming in who have never had to use maps because they've used their mobile phones and they use GPS. So we take people back learning how to read a Malways.
Yeah.
Read a general things like that.
Yeah.
And all those sort of things. So we've found, we're even finding people aren't using tools like, you know, we learned as kids.
Yeah.
I was taught by my dad and grandfather. You know, we've got people coming in now, they've never used ladders, they've never used hand tools. So when we're teaching them and they're getting new skills and they're finding it very interesting.
So volunteering is actually not just giving, you also receive, not just the reward, you get satisfaction from helping, you also take out a lot of valuable skills that you can use elsewhere.
Well, like exceptional skills like leading people in counter-disaster activities.
Yeah.
So you're demonstrating leadership. You're running a small business. In other words, you've got to run this unit, so you've got to know about all the management disciplines and what people learn in volunteering groups, such as SES, CFA and that. You can employ that in your day-to-day job.
Yeah.
And it makes people very, when it comes to things like job interviews, when you can say, well, I've actually done, you know, some critical thinking, or I've done problem solving, and you can give real cases. Companies are interested in that. When we started, and again, going back to your question about some of the biggest changes, when we started, it was predominantly Anglo-Saxon, Celtic, European. We've got a lot of people from Asia, India, Southeast Asia, Middle East, places such as Iraq. So we've got people that are from a far greater variety of backgrounds than we had back in the early 80s.
Yeah, that's quite, because it's a reflection of the society we live in, I believe, with all the migration and all the settlement and new people arriving. Well, you have to reflect the community you live in and work in.
Yeah, and like one thing, when you're in a rescue unit, it's an interesting thing, because when you're in that rescue crew, you really don't care who's sitting next to you. You're not worried about their nationality. You're not worried about their gender. You're not worried about anything like that, because all you need is that you can trust them to help you get that person out of the car.
Yeah.
And it almost becomes, so when you're in a rescue crew like that, it makes everyone extremely even. Everyone's very accepted. And it's probably one of the greatest benefits I've ever seen that's come out of it, where people don't look at those other things that the rest of society might look at. All you look at is that you're a member of our crew.
Coming to a more recent period with this COVID-19, it's a worldwide phenomenon. It's quite unprecedented. How has it affected the SES?
Well, it's impacted on, for example, we can't go down and train collectively. We train every week. We can't do that at the moment. So we had to start doing our training online, using things like WebEx and Zoom, things of that nature. It's also meant we've had to, instead of having as many people turn out as we can, we've had to limit it to 4 people a vehicle and keep the numbers low. We've had to make sure that everything in the vehicle is sanitised when we're back. It's meant we've not been able to train our new members as quickly as we'd like, because we've had to slow down there.
Yeah.
So it's had a major impact in that regard, but we're still responding, we're still operational, and we're still training. We've just got to be a little bit more innovative in how we're doing it.
Yeah. Another thing is when you intervene in these crisis situations, for me, these are crises or major crisis events, not everyone can, even a rescuer cannot come out of there damaged in a way or another, psychologically at least.
It is a significant aspect of volunteering, especially in regard to SES, where you're dealing with things such as death and people in trauma. I've spent 15 years of my SES time working in the peer support side of it, where we go out and we SES provides support to its members. We focus on if you have effective training, very realistic training, if you have good leadership, very focused leadership, and if you look after people when they come out of it and you encourage them to talk. We found in Craigieburn, for example, it will always affect you, but it doesn't have to affect you in a very negative aspect from your health.
Yeah.
You'll always remember things, but you're able to move forward. Like I said before, we might be successful in getting someone alive from a car, but we've looked after them, we've done the best by them, and we've at least taken their family considerations into account, that the best was done.
You guys do a tremendous job. I don't know if we thank you enough in the community, only dedicating one day a year to the SES. I think it's not enough.
One of the key benefits I've ever got out of SES is I've had lifelong friendships. I'm friends with people that I've shared experiences with, some quite dark experiences with, and we're still friends nearly 40 years later. You know you can rely on them, and I think that's a very strong thing that comes out of volunteering and in organisations such as SES.
Yeah, especially you all go with the same mindset of dedication, commitment, and sacrifice, actually. It's sacrificing, Before I let you go, is there anything we haven't covered that you would like to bring to the attention of our listeners?
The final thing is that Vic SES and SES around the country, regardless of the COVID-19, for the people out there, we're still training, albeit differently. We're still operationally active. We still will come out to help, and that we're fully committed to supporting the community.
Want to hear more stories like this? Listen on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.